This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate to heaven. Every morning lean thine arms awhile upon the windowsill of heaven, and gaze upon thy Lord. Then with the vision in thine heart, turn strong to meet thy day. The very delight, our Father, we would so come in thy name this morning hour that we may claim the promise that where men are gathered together, thou art in the midst. Give us spiritual insight that we may recognize thy presence, and that we may understand the availability of the resources which are found in thee. For Jesus' sake, amen. You will be seated. The most important factor in any life situation is God. There may be sickness or poverty or bereavement or joy or success or failure. And all of these things condition life. But the most important factor in every man's situation at any moment is God. Nobody put it more clearly than did Paul in that wonderful 8th chapter of Romans when he declared to all of us, in everything God works for good to them that love the Lord. In every situation, our situation, in every situation, God is always active on the side of goodness and right and strength for those who love him. To the Christian, then, there is adequacy always in God for all the demands of life. Therefore, we have no right to come in fear and trembling to our tasks, nor to look with envy or jealousy upon men who seem more successful, nor to be worried about what the day may bring, because we recognize in it is God. Now, I think it is quite true that every one of us believe that. We believe that God is alive and available and active, but we do not always utilize the resources that our faith thus makes available to us. You will remember how the presence of the living God impressed men in an older day. Job, broken in health, bereaved by the loss of his loved ones, struck down by the losing of all his economic resources, Job catching a glimpse of light from the land beyond, Job declared, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and after my flesh even this body is destroyed, then without my flesh shall I see God, whom I, even I, shall behold on my side and not as a stranger. And almost the same thing, same awareness came into the life of Martha. Martha and Mary, when Jesus came after the death of their brother, and Martha came to meet him. And out of the sadness of that hour and the theological discussion that grew out of the circumstance, Jesus declared to her that the most important factor in tragedy and death and any other situation is this: I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you lay hold of this? Now, all of this is familiar and beloved to all of us. And yet, I say, we perhaps do not live in the realization of it as completely as we ought. Therefore, I think we'd all be helped to follow in our thinking the pattern of the writer of the 23rd Psalm. We do not know who the writer is. Maybe David, probably a later writer. But he had the soul of a poet and the insight of a man who had an experience with God. And the whole psalm is a wonderful commentary on the truth of Paul, that all the time and everywhere, God is present and working for good. Now, this psalmist spoke in the thought pattern of his time and experience. It was not our thought pattern, not the thought pattern of his neighbor, maybe. But he was just at that moment, as he spoke or sang the words, he was realizing the great truth just there, that the Lord is my shepherd. And his very name for God was looking ahead toward these other names that Jesus gave. Because this very first word means in its very root a God who is alive, a God who can therefore be counted upon and with whom we may have covenant relationships. And so he said, this living God who really exists is my shepherd. He was talking about that very sunlit morning, just like this morning. The Lord, the living God, is my shepherd. I shall not come to any utter loss. I shall never be defeated by all the antagonisms of life. And then you follow just in his thought pattern, just as he thought about the sheep. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I drove down the valley of Baca once upon a time in the dry season and saw the shepherd leading the flock, and recognized even then that a sheep would die without a shepherd out in that desert land. And recognizing that this shepherd must get the sheep to some green pasture where food was available, now that it happened, and being thoroughly satisfied, the sheep were at rest in a tall green pasture. He leadeth me beside waters that bring rest to the agonizing and restless thirst I otherwise would experience. He needed food. He needed water. Just so, the man was singing in the physical figures with which he was so familiar. He was singing the songs that we must sing. He was emphasizing the truth that we must know. Whatever the situation is, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures and gives water to quench my thirst. He restoreth my soul. A teacher sometimes feels all run dry. He's talked out. And I'm certain that a student preacher with the burden of a church and a whole flock of professors and a family, he too is thoroughly dried out. And he needs restoration. And he can get it every day. Because out of this truth of the living God with whom we may be comes that other truth, that every day is a new beginning. Every morn is a world made new. To you who are weary of sorrow and sinning, this is a beautiful hope for you, a hope for me, and a hope for you. Yesterday's errors, let yesterday cover. Yesterday's wounds, which smarted and bled, are healed with the healing which night has shed. Today is ours, and today alone. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness. He leadeth me in a right way, because that's the kind of a God he is. Are you torn by temptation? Is it difficult to keep schoolwork on the straight and narrow? Are there other temptations that plague you? The very fact that God is by your side helps you too to sing a victory song. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. I won't be defeated now. For that is the kind of a God of righteousness. That's the kind of God he is. And therefore, even though I walk through places dark with shadows and with dangers lurking known and unknown all about me, I will not fear, for beside me in dangerous days and places, thou art with me. Thy rod defends me and thy staff supports me. Indeed, in the midst of all the things that plague me, thou preparest a table before me. Indeed, my cup runneth over. I have only to offer it to him, and he fills it to overflowing with blessing. Surely goodness and mercy, only his goodness and his mercy shall follow me. I've been glancing back because I'm afraid. Sins of the past are still remembered. Nobody knows just what will happen next. And so many a man walks glancing over his shoulder. But the man who walks with God, when he glances backward, finds that only his goodness and his mercy following strongly behind protect him from the unknown things that might approach from the rear. And therefore, as long as I live, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. Maybe it will be driving the car back and forth to my church. Maybe it will be in a little home on the campus. Maybe it will be in the library. Maybe it will be in the temple, set apart to worship. But as long as I live, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And let it be understood that the word I've spoken is only one side. We gain relaxation and rest in the presence of the Lord, that we may the more strongly turn to meet our day. Therefore, in a moment now, let us pray together. And then we'll stand and you'll sing in the wonderful strength with which you can interpret the truth. You'll sing the final hymn. And with the Amen, we'll go on to meet our tasks. Let us pray. O God, we thank thee for the presence of our friends who help us to claim the promise that a meeting place which honors thee will be honored by thy presence. And we would now rest in that great truth, knowing that thy wisdom and thy love are to be trusted so much better than our efforts or our wisdom. And so we turn to pray for faraway places and for loved ones separated by many miles. We pray for the nations of the world. We pray for the leadership of these nations. Oh God, may the Holy Spirit bring conviction of evil and determination to the good and light to all who seek to walk in right paths until indeed thy kingdom may come and thy will be done. And we pray for the people we know in many other lands. We would bring them before thee now. And together we pray for the greater host unknown to us but known to thee. Speak to their hearts both joy and courage and assurance. And now, our Father, we thank thee for an opportunity to come close to thee. And as we go our way, we would walk with thee and fulfill thy purpose for Jesus' sake. Amen.